Dad, let's go look. Come on.
Where?
Going to the kids' book.
Okay.
Me and my 5-year-old son love the library. Since he was really little, we've spent a lot of time in the children's area of the Pine Hills branch of the Albany Public Library, reading, coloring, and playing with other kids. The children's librarians greet him by name when he arrives. When the library closed in March 2020, it was one of many closures that had a big impact on us. This wasn't his first time back, but one of the first. For him, being in the library and looking through books is really the point of the library. For me, though, during quarantine, I finally figured out how to order books through my online account, and I worked through a long list of novels. To find out more about how our librarians continued to serve our community during the uncertainty and upheaval of the pandemic, I spoke with Deanna DiCarlo, head of branches for the library's West Service Area.
I'll never forget the day we closed. We heard that the Albany City School District was closing, and that was kind of our benchmark for making a decision to close our facilities. None of us in the leadership team had ever really used Google Meet or Zoom or any of those platforms before, but we all kind of hopped onto a Google Hangout to try to figure out what to do. We immediately taped up all the book drops, and my boss, who's the executive director, Scott Jarzombek, worked with our board to come up with a safety plan that we have been updating every single month since last March of 2020. We had to make a lot of decisions about how to make materials safely available to the public, even though we really didn't know enough about the virus and how it was transmitted at that point. All of that stuff was, you know, kind of evolved between March and July. And we met regularly. We all worked every single day. A lot of people joke and say they, you know, had household projects and stuff during the shutdown. Not us. We worked every single day trying to figure all this out for us. You know, our team, we have 130 employees spread across 7 locations throughout the city.
She explained how they provided more services as they found safe ways to do so.
In July, though, when it became clear that we could, you know, come back to work and figure out ways to make our materials available, we opened up for curbside service for the first time ever in the history of this organization, as far as I know. I've been here since 2006. And figuring out those logistics was very similar to the way our local restaurants had to figure it out. You know, we had to work with the city to create some extra parking over on New Scotland Avenue for that branch. This branch opened up a little bit later in August or September for curbside. We had to figure out protocols. We had to work with the Upper Hudson Library System because, as you know, as a library user, we share a catalog with them. And there's all kinds of things deep in the database for how we manage who has what and how materials get from point A to point B. And then once we kind of got that under our belt, I'd say right around September, we began opening up for appointment services. So folks could come in and use a computer, they could print, fax, copy. So that started happening, I would say, last fall. And we've kind of just recently, in the last couple of months, opened up for browsing. Folks can come in, like we're sitting here right now in this beautiful space, and we're slowly rolling out all the furniture, as you can see, try to get things as back to normal as possible. We have regular hours at most of our locations at this point now, too.
Yeah.
Lauren Cardinal, the Pine Hills branch manager, described some behind-the-scenes work they had to do to be able to provide virtual services.
Between when we closed and when we reopened the buildings for curbside, we were basically providing virtual services, so people could call or email us with reference questions. A lot of it was like downloading books because our downloadable collections were still working.
I see.
And so people who had never downloaded a book now were like, well, this is all I can do. I can't get in the library. So walking people through that, even like, what's the weather? We have one guy who calls and asks what the weather is,
okay,
which is very nice. They're asking for phone numbers and things like that. And the other thing that was really labor intensive was doing virtual programming. Like the children's librarians recorded story times. And that was a huge process getting that organized and teaching people who are not maybe the most tech savvy, like how to set up, you know, the ring lights and the iPads and the, you know, it's a whole different skill set. We had someone doing the editing, and we post them on YouTube. Those were really popular.
Yeah.
When everything else was shut down.
Lauren explained the steps they had to take to get to curbside service.
there was a time in between where we were coming in the building and still doing all this virtual programming and virtual services, but we weren't offering any in-person services. And that was a weird time because we were just in this empty, which is kind of nice. It's like being in the museum at night sort of thing. But it's kind of eerie. And then we started doing curbside. But when that took off, it took off. We were doing like 250 a week, which is like 50 a day. So if someone comes in the library and they like pull a book off the shelf and they bring it down and they check it out, that's it. It's like one interaction. But when you're doing curbside, the person calls and they places their holds, and then you get their holds, and then you check out their, and then they call again to make the appointment, and then you prepare it for pickup, and then you bring it out to them. So it's really like three or four interactions to accomplish just the same simple thing. So you think like, all right, well, 50 people picked up their books today. You don't really think of it. It's like, okay, that's fine. But when you think like you had to touch each of those books and talk to that person like three or four times to just accomplish that one thing, it was crazy. It was nuts. Some of the branches were just like, you know, little factories running things out constantly. But it was fun. Like we felt, you know, when you're doing virtual stuff, we're still doing something, but it's less immediate. Like seeing people and seeing the books go out and come back and talking to people was really nice.
As the word spread last month that the library was open for in-person browsing, people started to come back.
I would say at this branch, it was a trickle. I think the word of mouth was a little slower, but we're starting to get busier now. At Bach on New Scotland Avenue, it was busy from the get-go. That is a heavy children and families circulating branch, so a lot of parents came in looking for materials for their kids on the regular. It's also a very walkable neighborhood branch. I think the same is true for our other walkable neighborhood branches, like the one down on the south end. Our Howe branch has seen a lot of traffic coming in already, same with Arbor Hill. You know, things are starting to, I wouldn't call it a trickle, but it wasn't exactly a deluge either, but we're getting there.
Lauren says the interactions are what make it great to be back.
Every time we add a new service, like, so when we started doing curbside or when we started opening the buildings back up, like, people are so happy and come in and are like, I'm so excited. Like, when we started curbside, I'm so excited. I haven't had a book in, like, 6 months, and they were so happy. And then when we open the buildings and they come in, like, I haven't been in a library in 2 years and this is so amazing. And it's really, really nice.
And Deanna says that moving ahead, they hope to restore more and more of the services that the library provided.
We're going to make our meeting rooms available again for small public meetings. So if the Pine Hills Neighborhood Association wants to use the meeting room again, we can do that with, you know, with a cap on how many people can be in there at one time. We are also going to be making our study rooms available again, I would say. I think that's July 1st is a rollout for that in a limited capacity as well. And we're going to be beginning indoor programming again if the numbers stay the way they are in August. So that'll be something for us to look forward to. We've had some outdoor programs. Like we had a chalk drawing program here last week for kids. But we're really looking forward to being able to have folks come back in and enjoy some of our regularly scheduled programs.
The Albany Public Library continues to require that masks be worn at all branches by staff and patrons. I asked Deanna about this decision.
We serve people from birth till end of life, so a lot of kids can't get vaccinated. So when kids come in, we want everybody to feel comfortable in the libraries. And then there are a lot of folks, for whatever reason, can't be vaccinated. So we wanted to make sure that the library remained a safe and inclusive place for everyone. So for us, it's made sense to keep the mask mandate. And we're going to reassess that at every board meeting moving forward. And the board is actually meeting tomorrow night, so I know it's on the agenda for tomorrow as well. I anticipate we'll keep it for this at least this next month.
Lauren and Deanna both emphasized how happy they were to have the library back in full swing. And so are me and my son.
No, I think what I liked was the same thing I always liked, which was just developing the relationships with our regulars. We have people who come in every single day. We say hi to them every day, and we know about their lives, and we know what they're doing, and those people are coming back, and we get to see them again, so that's really nice.
Thank you for this opportunity, and just everybody come on back to the library. We can't wait to see you here. We've missed everyone so much.
We got the other walk in the pocket, so we already have one.
Yeah.
From the library. Look what's on sale.
Oh.
He put it here.
Yeah.
Doesn't it mean it's on sale?
It just meant they thought other kids might like it.
Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.